You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello and welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Guess who I am? I am the Monster, back once more to give you not so much sci-fi news for this week, although this is the second podcast that I'm doing this week on reviews. The first one I did earlier was going to be the X-Files Revival Season 10, Episodes 1 and 2. Today's podcast is going to be dealing with DC's Legends of Tomorrow. So, if you have not heard of Legends of Tomorrow, but if you watch Arrow and The Flash, you know that these are characters that appeared on both series. So, for example, on The Flash, which is the spinoff of Arrow, we have Captain Cold, we have Heatwave, we also have Firestorm, Hawkman, and Hawkgirl. And on Arrow, we also had Black Canary, as well as Adam, who is played by Brandon Routh, who was Superman in Superman Returns. So, basically what happened is that we're getting a spinoff of a spinoff, right? Okay, that makes sense. In which we get this Time Master named Rip Hunter, who gathers all these heroes and villains to fight against Vandal Savage. So, that's basically the premise of the show. What I'm going to be talking about is a couple of things that I just found out about what's going to be upcoming on the show. A couple of things about the characters that I wanted to mention. I'm going to do a quick break, in which I'm going to be talking about another podcast in the ESO Network. And then when I get back, I will talk about the first two episodes, which is really, to me, the pilot episode for DC's Legends of Tomorrow. All right. So a couple of things are going to be coming up. We're looking at Jonah Hex, who is going to be a character that's going to be showing up on Legends of Tomorrow. And since this is a time-traveling show, it's not an issue about going way back into the past to do a Western story, which is where Jonah Hex is really from. I don't have the timeline, but I figure it's going to be somewhere in the 1800s, at least, in my head. Of course, there was a movie, which we can easily forget. But in any case, I'm kind of actually looking forward to this, just because I think it's an interesting character, and hopefully this series can make, you know, some right moves to make this character popular. So the other one is going to be Sergeant Rock. Sergeant Rock is someone who I'm also familiar with, but I haven't read a whole lot of comics. I know growing up, his comics were big in the 70s, but honestly, wasn't really into him. Basically, he's an army guy, and I don't know anything more than that. For me, at that same period, like, Nick Fury was, to me, more interesting than it was to see Sergeant Rock. But again, in any case, I think the series might help draw some new attention to this character, which I'm not familiar with, but I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. Now, if the season gets picked up for season two, which more than likely I want to say yes, because they had really good ratings for the first two episodes, Constantine's going to be part of the season, the cast for that season. So I think they're going to be rotating characters in and out as the season progresses, which is going to be kind of cool to see that. So we did see Constantine on Arrow earlier this year for season four. So the fact that he is going to be part of this cast is really, really cool. So I'm really excited. Now, of course, if you follow my podcast, I also did a Save Constantine podcast, which we were trying to get a second season for the series to be picked up, but of course NBC opted not to do that. But still, kudos to everyone who has been supporting the character and still fighting the good fight to still get it this main character that's in DC to cross over into DC's Legends of Tomorrow. So that's very cool. The other last thing is a future storyline in which takes place because, okay, let's start off with this. The series begins at 2016 with all the heroes, which Rip Hunter travels back in time 150 years. somewhere along the next several episodes, we're going to travel 30 years into the future, which will make it 2046. By that time, we are going to see Arrow, who is going to be, of course, much older. And something has happened to Arrow, which I read about and don't want to spoil it for you if you don't like spoilers, because it wouldn't be fair. But something big has happened to him. So I'm kind of curious to see how this all plays out. So that's kind of really cool what they're planning out for the series that just started and has all these great potential storylines. So now, let's talk about the characters themselves. We have, of course, from Team Flash, if I want to call it that, Captain Cold and Heatwave. The one complaint that I'm going to have with Captain Cold is that stupid parka. I get the concept that you want to look like you're cold. I get it. You have the cold gun. I get it. But you don't need the damn parka to keep warm. You're not Mr. Freeze. That's what's bugging me about this. You know, it's like nighttime in the summer and he's wearing that stupid parka. Stop it. I mean, the second episode, you got to not wear that and go undercover and still use your cold gun, so you had no problem. So please, let's get rid of the parka because it's really annoying. I mean, Heatwave, for God's sake, is not wearing those suits that you see volcanologists that need to study and protect themselves from lava watching a volcano explode. You know, you don't see him in that, so please, let's make something right for me just this once. So we have Firestorm, which I like. I have no problems with them, with Dr. Stein and Jackson. Then Hawkman and Hawkgirl, which is okay, they're fine. They're still following the storyline that we've seen in Justice League animated series, in which they're basically past lives and they've lived thousands of lives and been reincarnated over and over again. So I'm okay with that. Then something new with Black Canary joining the group. She was originally the Black Canary in season 2, Sarah Lance, and died in season 3. Ra's al Ghul, I guess I killed her. Honestly, I forget season 3 altogether. But she was killed. She was brought back. So now she's fighting now as the White Canary. And then we get Ray Palmer, who was thought dead in the Arrow series at the end of season 3. But turns out that his powers saved him, but made him smaller in the process. So he's been on and off using those powers of increased size and smaller mass, as well as having a super suit to fight the villains that he does. So it's not a bad team. Now, out of all this, we have now Rip Hunter. Rip Hunter is someone I'm vaguely familiar with, and I'm really pushing the vaguely part. So I had to do some research on who the hell Rip Hunter was. Well, aside from Rory, which is Arthur Darvill, who was in Doctor Who, Mr. Amy Pond, if you want to refer to him like that. Rory is a cool character. I love the fact that he became part of Doctor Who as a companion along with Amy, and not a sad sack along the way. He was integral to the trio, and he was amazing. So I'm glad to see him in this new role, in this new series. But it's oddly familiar, because as you know, he is a Time Master. And in the very beginning of this, you know, he's going to the Time Master's Council to talk about how to stop Vandal Savage. Of course, the council disagrees with him, so he steals a time ship. And he finds companions. So, it sounds a lot like Doctor Who and his amazing friends. But in all fairness, as I was doing the research, I found out that Rip Hunter actually came out back in 1959. Doctor Who, on the other hand, was 19... Oh, I'm forgetting my info here. So Doctor Who came out in 1963. So, did Doctor Who rip off Rip Hunter? I don't know if the storyline from the first appearance of Rip Hunter was exactly what we saw in the pilot for Legends of Tomorrow. But there are a lot of similarities. I mean, you had the TARDIS for Doctor Who, you have Wave Runner for Rip to travel into. So they both kind of wore trench coats, sort of, or at least Tennant wore a trench coat, and Rip is also wearing a trench coat. So I'm sure there was some homages, some rip-offs from each other. I don't know. I really don't care. But it just seems oddly enough that both characters are very similar. I thought that was kind of interesting to bring that up. So the fact that he's been around for so long, he's also the son of Booster Gold, which is another popular character that I like. I'll talk about this towards the end of the program, so I want to do some future ideas of what I think they could do as storylines if I was in charge, quote-unquote. But Booster Gold was someone who was born in the 25th century, came back in time using stolen technology to become a superhero, I believe, in the 20th century. So it's quite possible that we may have a storyline there in the future with Legend. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, so we have our cast of characters, and we have our leader, team leader, Rip Hunter. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take a quick break before I go into my reviews of the first two episodes. But I'm going to do a promo for Myopia, Defend Your Childhood podcast, which is another great show from the ESO Network. So again, when I come back, I'm going to talk about Legends of Tomorrow.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood, the podcast where every week we put a little bit of your past on trial. Wait, you don't know who we are? Well, fine. First, we take a movie that you like. You know the ones. The ones the buses always had on field trips.
We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
The afternoon animated show tie-in.
Or rewrite history.
Or the ones your parents didn't want you to see, but you watched at a sleepover. So that's the game. The movies are 10 years old and the defendant hasn't seen them in 5. Then
we're here to talk about The Sandlot. When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to play with the other children, so this is how I learned human interaction.
Ask them what they think.
Obviously, I remembered earwigs, because as soon as my parents found out that I was deathly afraid of parasites, they were like, let's show her Wrath of Khan.
So, in the end, does your past hold up? Can you defend your childhood? Tune in every Thursday to find out.
All right, so I'm back, and as I've done before with the X-Files, I'm not going to recap everything episode and shot by shot of what you have just seen. I'm just going to bring about a couple of points of discussion that I want to bring up, and we'll just go from there. So the premise is pretty simple, is that you have the bad guy, Vandal Savage. You have a team that's out to get him. Basically, Rip is trying to prevent, in all honesty, the death of his son and his wife, and also protect the future so that he doesn't become this world-dominating power and controlling everything. So the question I have is this whole time travel notion. Okay, in the first episode, in order to track down Savage, they go back to 1975. In which they talked to Kendra's, I guess, son from another life, who is a professor who has been tracking Vandal Savage. So they got information about where his whereabouts and so forth. But in the process, he dies. Well, just like with Rip Hunter's son and wife being killed, and the son of Kendra, why couldn't they simply go back in time X amount of seconds, X amount of minutes to undo what has been done? Well, we really don't get an answer until the second season. Until the second episode. And that second episode, he talks about the whole point. He's like, we can't go back and change events in which we participated. Time would fold on itself, creating a temporal vortex. Okay. My understanding of that statement is that if I spilled a cup of water, I try to go back in time, like 10 seconds before that moment, I guess I cannot tell myself or prevent myself from spilling that cup of water. I guess, does that make sense? That's what's confusing me. If you can't undo something, let's say 10 seconds, a day, a week, a year, how is it any different than what you're trying to do with Vandal Savage going back in 1975 and preventing him to go any further and give us an alternate future of 2166? That's what's confusing me. Because it's one thing, like in Doctor Who, we have fixed points in time that cannot be undone. There is no recourse of changing. It's set in stone, so to speak. Or in Back to the Future, you know, where we have an alternate 1985 future, you can go back to a certain point and undo what you did in order to restore the timeline. That makes sense. So at this point, I'm not really sure that they're clear about their own time travel mythos. So whatever the rules are, I don't think they are clearly established at this point, because it just seems kind of odd to make that kind of statement that you can't do something or undo something in which you participated in. So, but that's the whole point of time travel, is that you can undo what you just did. But all right, so that's my kind of big complaint that I have about the time travel aspect. The other aspect in general was that, was this DC's version of, like, say, Justice League or the Marvel's Avengers? I kind of saw this more like their answer to what Guardians of the Galaxy is. In Guardians of the Galaxy, because we have Star-Lord having the music from his childhood, growing up in the 70s and 80s, and playing this Walkman, which no one still explains why it's still able to play in the future, that's not the point. The point is that you captured a moment in time with that music, and it was phenomenal how it played very well into the movies. So in this series, you do get to hear Captain Tennille, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and the Tramps at one point throughout this 1975 episode. And it does have a lot of similar traits. Like when I was looking at Captain Cold and Heatwave, the first thing that came to my head, like, oh, Captain Cold is Rocket Raccoon and Heatwave is like Groot. White Canary is kind of like Gamora-ish. And of course, the Wave Rider is like the Milano that they all travel in. Of course, it doesn't travel back in time, but you get the point. It has that same kind of inspiration. I'll leave it at that. I'm not saying they're going to rip them off. They just want to aspire to that fun, great movie of Guardians of the Galaxy, but smaller. So we get that to a degree, and for the most part, there's not a whole lot that's going on in this first episode. And so we get the very end where we finally see Savage, and he is in possession of a nuclear bomb. And it was odd that his speech sounded a lot like what Ultron was trying to say about the evolution of humanity through strife and crisis. So Savage kind of saw himself in the same regards. So, but I understood his more than Ultron a little clearer. But in any case. All right. So really, episode 2, the first 10 minutes, that's when the bulk of the action really happens. And I was really excited to see Damian Dark in there in the mix. and the team is all fighting together, sort of, you know, successfully at one point. But the one thing that I had a question about, and I will make another reference to it later, is that a nuclear bomb was set off. And Firestorm was going to take the missile, go to a desolated place, some island, and it was going to get set off, but that Firestorm would absorb all that nuclear energy. And he does, to a degree, make it work. But there is still damage around the surrounding woods, in which you can see there's a big hole there, but it could have been far worse. So I'll get back to that point a little bit later. So in the process, Adam lost a piece of his tech, in which Savage has found that around and is trying to reverse engineer it so that he can do this takeover in the future. Now, apparently, again, taken from 1985, the alternate timeline, the 2016, Rip Hunter was showing the gang that, look, this is what happened. We have this now desolate future, or your present, now because of your tech. So they have to get the sports catalog, like in Back to the Future 2, but get the tech back in order to restore the timeline. So they were able to do that, but in the process, they kind of changed time or reverted or restored the timeline to its normal, I guess, way. They were able to find Adam's tech, but via Professor Stein's earlier self. So he's interacting with an earlier version of him. And it just seems, again, Back to the Future, Marty McFly meeting his dad, George McFly. And that one time, one moment, I thought I almost heard him say, "Hey, you, get your damn hands off her." Because at one point, he just sounds just like that, because he's getting upset with the older him, which he didn't know. But what bugged me was that, you know, he got knocked unconscious so they can steal his weapon, not weapon, but the tracker, in order to find Adam's tech. But Professor Stein, the older version, his wedding ring was fading out. I thought, wouldn't that have been even more dramatic? Because if his life had changed, because he never woke up and met his wife at that at the party, that he might not had met Jefferson Jackson, he might not been part of the team of Firestorm, he might not have been at Central City at the time of that disaster when this all occurred, in which he had been joined with another guy who was also Firestorm. So it could have been something that, well, that affected them from merging, but they never really played into that. It was just more like his ring was fading in and out, and that's it. You know, if you're going to take a cue from Back to the Future, and Marty McFly saw the pictures of himself and his brother and sister fading out, and his own self, his own existence was fading out, that's dramatic. But I never got the sense of, this is really dangerous, other than he's now going to be single. Like, that's really, really, that's a jeopardy? He's going to be single? All right. So they prevented that future, so everything has been restored. Of course, they fight Vandal Savage. And what gets me, Firestorm is there. He shoots, quote-unquote, a nuclear blast, which I'm, again, referring to the nuclear bomb, a nuclear blast to knock out Vandal Savage. Of course, he survives. But if it's a nuclear blast, tell me, why is the house still standing? Why no one else is dead around them? Because if that's the case, there should have been a lot more damage. All right, let the logic go with that. But in any case, we get Hawkgirl trying to fight Savage after Hawkman loses the fight and gets killed by Savage, which, oddly enough, he does die in this episode, which I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Because normally it's just like, oh, don't worry, I'll survive, and we'll see what happens later. No, he's dead. Of course, I haven't seen episode 3, so I don't know what's going to happen, so don't spoil it for me. But still, Hawkgirl tries to get at Savage. That doesn't happen. So the team then kind of licks his wounds, and rather than turn tail, they vow to stick it out and to do this for Carter, who again is killed. And off we go into, you know, episode 3, which again have not seen, but I'm kind of interested to see how this is going to go further and how they progress. All right, so what if I was in charge of future storylines? Well, one of the things that I would be interested in, since the ship is called the Wave Rider, and Gideon is the artificial intelligence on board Wave Rider, what if somehow the two have emerged and the ship took on a physical persona? Kind of like Joss Whedon's Amazing X-Men storyline, in which the Danger Room, known to Professor Xavier that this was an actual entity that was alive, let it become Danger and be the embodiment of the Danger Room. So what if, like the DC character called Wave Rider in the comics, which is not the ship, became alive, kind of like what you saw, like with the X-Men? I thought that'll be kind of interesting to see. Why not? The other thing would be, all right, since we have the time travel and we're traveling linear back and forth on Earth 1, well, on Flash, we know there's a second Earth. Well, what if, in the course of this process, let's say Savage crosses over to that second Earth? That opens up a whole new possibility, because everything is not known to us. This is completely different. Or, on the other side, there's probably a Savage who is immortal, but is a good Savage. Or maybe the Legends of Tomorrow on that side are the bad versions of this. So that also could be playing into this alternate timeline, mirror-mirror universe type, in which we can have our heroes fight themselves or fight against someone who was bad at one point. So, and the other thing that I want to bring up is, again, with the Booster Gold, you know, if he's traveled back into the 20th century, it's quite possible that Rip is born in the next century or so thereafter. So it's quite possible maybe we can see a Booster Gold in the process. I think that would be kind of cool. And then the other thing was that, what if Savage was stealing or stole the actual ship, in which now he's traveling throughout time? Sure, you can chase after him, but then you would not be able to kill him per se, because you're not sure that's that version's final self. Meaning, you can be in 1975 and I'm still traveling back to 1968. So if I kill the one that's 1975, doesn't mean that I'm still alive in 1968. It could be possible because I'm back in time before that incident ever happened. But how would they know? I don't know. That's not the point. I'm not the one who's writing this. But this is just for my butt. So, like everything else I'm pulling out of, I'm going to pull the plug on this because I'm done. So, it's not a bad show. It's not out of the gate amazing. But I'm treating it as like Guardians. You're going to have more adventures. You're going to have fun with different time periods. You're going to have not so much, you know, great character arcs, but you're just there to be entertained. So it's not dark like Arrow. It's not as funny as Flash. It's somewhere in between. So I'm willing to stick it out to see how this all plays out. And again, DC, for me, is really killing it on the small screen. And yes, Marvel has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But Agent Carter is amazing. Daredevil is great. We talked about, oh my God, Jessica Jones. It's still okay. But DC is really pushing all the great bells and whistles together. I mean, Arrow and Flash have been doing crossovers. We're going to get a Flash and Supergirl crossover. And now we got Legends of Tomorrow. It's been phenomenal. And I'm really happy that DC is getting its due finally. But really, next month is the big deal to have Batman versus Superman and have the big screen presence that it needs to compete against Marvel. So I'm really excited for all these properties for DC to be coming, but man, it's a good time regardless if you like DC or not. All these great comic book heroes are just fantastic to watch. All right, so that does it for me. I am done with this podcast. So hopefully next week I will have some sci-fi news and or the Deadpool review. If you want to email me, do so at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com or find me on Facebook. The Monster Sci-Fi Show page is there. You can also find me on Twitter with the Siffy handle, MonsterSyFy Show. And of course, please like me on iTunes. I'm on Stitcher. I'm trying to be everywhere as possible. Let me know what you think. Want to be on the show? Please come aboard. Share your thoughts. I want to know what you're thinking. So, thank you once again for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.